Technology, it's such a big part of our lives. It can be fun, it can be convenient, just like this podcast, which is why University of Missouri Healthcare is proud to support podcasting on KBIA. Technology can also save your life. That's why so many people turn to University of Missouri Healthcare. Its hospitals and clinics offer you the latest technology, plus a medical team whose skill and knowledge are unparalleled. You know technology makes everyday life a lot better. Well, it's true for your healthcare, too. University of Missouri Healthcare, the care you deserve from the team you trust.
Hello, and welcome to Under the Microscope, KBIA's weekly look into stories in science, health, and technology. I'm Raymond Tungekar. In recent years, there's been a concerted push at the local and national levels to make healthy food more widely available, particularly in low-income areas. This is one focus of National Food Day, which local food groups and advocates celebrated last month. But while some programs are able to increase access to fresh food, changing people's eating habits can be a bit tricky. For Harvest Public Media, Alana Gordon has the story.
For several years now, local leaders have been opening farmers markets, urban farms, and other projects focused on improving overall health and access to food. They see National Food Day as a way to recognize the ongoing efforts. Some civic leaders and food advocates met at Juniper Gardens in Kansas City, Kansas this week to kick off the occasion.
Yeah, let's get everybody just kind of... This is such a great view.
Mayor Joe Reardon and others scrunched together for a photo at the corner of this large urban training farm. It's 8 acres and surrounded by public housing. Mayor Reardon explains that to him, Food Day is about raising awareness about the importance of healthy food and getting back to its roots, so to speak, like to that of his great-grandparents, who first moved to this area as farmers.
Fast forward to me, and that experience is much more removed, and my kids don't have that connection to farming at all in the same way. And so we have to revisit that, and we have to orient ourselves again to the importance of that.
But in a county like this one, where 32,000 residents live in areas with poor access to a grocery store and fresh produce, how well is this message catching on? Reardon says the process has been organic, as urban farms like this one work to supply fresh produce all over the metro and to the neighborhoods right here.
So it means that, you know, the homes that are around here, when you open your door now, it's not a weeded lot anymore that was abandoned. There's a farm right outside your door, right in the middle of our city. And so that's happening not just here. This is a significant and an impactful one in the size of it. But we're seeing that now springing up in every neighborhood.
And let me walk you to this one over here. It's an edible plant that you can eat, and it's a flower.
After Reardon and others leave the farm, Kansas City, Kansas resident Judith Smith comes over. She shows me the community plot that she and other families have been cultivating
tomatoes,
here over the last 2 years.
Potatoes, basil, we have a lot of herbs, spices.
Smith says before the farm started up here, local produce and produce in general wasn't a part of her mindset.
I was eating greasy food. Food that wasn't healthy, you know, from the can. And now I won't eat nothing but salads, nothing with fat, like fried chicken, nothing like that.
Smith says her transformation came easily.
What changed for me was learning how to plant vegetables, and then we went to a farm, and I got to see how different people were doing different things, and I didn't know plants was edible. I'm like, ooh, yep, that's grass, but it's actually edible vegetables out there that you can just walk up and just eat in the garden.
So it really took you seeing it to then connecting to...
Exactly, because I was like, I'm not going to get on my knees and do anything. But once I started doing it and tasting it, I like it.
Smith is involved with a lot at Juniper Gardens now, from doing cooking demonstrations to working with parents and kids on garden plots. What she's learned is people really connect with seeing her pick vegetables right on site and then showing how they can be cooked.
We see people like pulling to the side and getting out, like, what's this, what's that, what are you cooking, and we'll tell them. And we're like, don't say you don't like it, try it. So we're getting more people down here, even more kids than adults.
But drawing a crowd isn't always an easy process.
Yeah, I'm sorry it's not more exciting.
About 5 miles south of Juniper Gardens, Eugene Brown wraps up a Sunday morning farm stand on the corner of 29th Street and Strong Avenue.
It feels like a failing effort today.
Just a handful of people have stopped by this morning. The market Brown operates is a mobile one. It's part of a program called Beans and Greens, and it travels to different sites throughout the metro at set times. Brown said he's learning that finding the right time and place for these markets can be a challenge, even when they're in neighborhoods like this one with no grocery store. He says one reason he's parked here is there's a big church across the street. When things get slow, sometimes he'll take measures into his own hands.
Once in a while, what we'll do is we'll run over to the church, and as people come out of the church, we'll kind of hound them, which is kind of bad because we're standing there next to the Father. We're like, you don't mind if we stand next to you, do you? And so we try and get some of the people that come out of the nearby church to come over and shop.
But Brown says don't let this slow day fool you. Sales at this mobile market and others have actually grown this year. Like with Smith at Juniper Gardens, he sees hands-on guidance making a difference. Brown says kale is a great example.
I can't count the number of customers that came through the mobile market this year and had no idea what kale was. They thought it was a green and they were getting ready to cook it like a green by throwing a ham hock in it or something else. We ultimately had to educate them on some real healthier ways to eat kale. And so it was a long process. It wasn't an easy sell, whether it was handing a recipe, following up, trying it, even in some instances offering kale as, you know what, since you bought all that here, just take one as a freebie, try it. And once they realized it, then of course, it was fantastic.
Brown says a big question now is whether these new experiences and eating habits will stick. For Harvest Public Media, I'm Alana Gordon.
The University of Missouri Sinclair School of Nursing recently received the largest research grant in MU history from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. KBIA's Marissa Asfor has the story.
MU's Sinclair School of Nursing will use the $14.8 million grant for elderly care and to help reduce avoidable hospitalizations of nursing home residents. Dean Judith Fitzgerald Miller says the school plans to implement its Aging in Place model in 16 nursing homes in the St. Louis area.
Nurses are coordinating the care of residents, so as their health status deteriorates, more services are pulled in to be surrounding the resident, and then as they get better, these services are backed off. So the whole point is that they're kept aging in place, and they're not snatched out to be hospitalized.
The model calls to place one advanced practice registered nurse at each nursing home in order to better notice and assess conditions that usually lead to hospitalizations in aging adults. A traveling interdisciplinary team will work with the advanced practice nurses to help the assessments and monitoring of health. At the grant announcement on MU's campus, U.S. Representative Blaine Luchtemeyer said he supports the model for the care it gives to seniors.
This is a respect for life. It's a respect for our seniors. It's a way that we can provide them better care, quality of care in those last days, last weeks, last years of their life.
The School of Nursing plans to implement the grant over 4 years. At the end of the 4-year grant, the school hopes to implement the plan nationwide. Marissa Asfor, KBIA News.
And that's it for this week's Under the Microscope. To hear this episode and others, just head to our website, kbia.org. I'm Raymond Tongakar. Thanks for listening.